Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day to you, America. We're in the midst of the holidays. In the rearview mirror, we have the election and Thanksgiving, and coming up, we have Christmas, we have New Year's. It's time for shopping, it's time for family, it's time for slowing down. On the political front, we see President Donald J. Trump as he's preparing his cabinet and preparing to return to the White House. And that's going to bring some fireworks, but I want to tell you some good news. There was a court ruling. We prepared an entire show with my friend Jackie Deason, who's a constitutional expert. She's a legal expert. She worked in Congress and so forth. She's going to warn you about the Corporate Transparency Act. And you need to still hear what she says. But the good news is there was a temporary injunction against this act, which means that you don't have to file something by January 1st. If you had a small business, a subchapter S corporation, an LLC, you are bound to file this or get $500 and some a day fines and maybe 2 years in jail. Good news, a court stepped in. All right, so I want to introduce the concept to you, introduce you to Jackie, and then we'll talk about it, you know, as we go through. I'll just place what we pre-recorded for you to hear now. All right, let's roll tape. So joining me on the radio today for the first time ever is the incomparable Jackie Deason, a longtime host of her own radio show on Blaze. Welcome, Jackie.
Good to be back with you, Kevin. Excited to be here for the first time on Pirate Radio.
Yeah.
Pirate
Money Radio. Well, you're on radio. You're a radio host. You've got public policy background. You're an attorney. Yeah. You've got been on congressional staff, right, with real true leaders in Congress. And we brought you on today because our mutual friend Tammy sent me an email and said, you've got to have Jackie on talking about the CTA. I had to look it up, the Corporate Transparency Act. Can you tell us what is the CTA?
Yeah, so, well, it's a horrible law that can literally make you a felon and land you in a cage that is a jail cell if you don't comply with it by January 1st, 2025, and you are a small business owner or have any decision making in a small business. I didn't believe this was real. When it first came to me, I'm like, this cannot be true that our Congress passed this law and that a president signed it. But in fact, it is true. I checked with a member of the Financial Services Committee in the U.S. House. I checked with a member of House leadership and then spoke with many members to do my homework on this bill or this law. And sure enough, this is real. You have to basically report your personal information. This is the information on your driver's license or passport. And everyone else who is basically has beneficial ownership in the small business to the Department of Treasury, but specifically FinCEN, F-I-N-C-E-N, and a bureau inside that department that specializes in battling terrorism and cartels and organized crime. So basically, you, the small business owner, are being treated as if you could be a member of a cartel. Or you are a terrorist, perhaps, and they've got to do a deep dive into all of your information. Suddenly, for the first time in American history, somehow we've made it this far without such an intrusive law, but now we have to have this. One more thing, and if you don't know about it or you don't comply, you can go to prison for 2 years.
Okay, interrupt here. Stop just a second. I want to tell you the good news. I'm going to read the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas, granted nationwide injunction suspending enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act and its beneficial ownership information reporting rule. This injunction suspends obligations to file initial BOI reports by January 1st, 2025. So I want you to hear it's still the law, but it's suspended for the time being. So you do not have to file by January 1st. Okay, go ahead for this.
So for purposes of this law, small business means you have less than 20 employees, you have less than $5 million in gross revenues.
So it really is. That's genuinely small business. That could be a dry cleaner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can be a contractor welder out in the oil patch or truck driver. You can be a hair salon owner. You could be any kind of small business. This is everyone. 33 million estimated small business owners as of August. Only 10% have complied. Probably 90% are not even aware this law exists. So it's a gotcha as far as I'm concerned. You're seeing all these headlines about we have to have 87,000 new IRS agents or like 40% of the S&P companies are under investigation. It just feels like it's a big over-criminalization effort by the government to make sure you're in violation of something at all times.
Okay, so small businesses have to fill out little short forms and give up driver's license, where you live, who all's involved in your business, your social security number. You know, it's a roadmap to identity theft, but that's small business. Big businesses obviously have to put a whole lot more information in, and they have to jump through way more hoops, right?
Not under this law. Maybe under other laws, there are absolutely reporting requirements and things they have to do that others don't. But under this law, no, they are totally exempt. Just as back during COVID, the big guys can do what they want. Everyone else is restricted and disadvantaged and given a new hurdle that's going to cost money to comply.
Mom and pop store and Walmart stays open. Here, Walmart's exempt. And by the way, I'm actually pleased with Walmart. They abandoned DEI. And so I really think highly now, you know, I'm willing to Christmas shop at Walmart again because they're not going to do DEI nonsense. But in this case, they're exempt and the small guy has to pay the price. Either fill out the forms or go to jail.
That is correct, should they choose to enforce the law, and I would expect them to do so.
What you about also selective be enforcement?
Well, that's the deal, isn't it? You know, you put out a law, and we're all familiar with this. The bottom line is, there is so much crime committed, and only so much resources and officers and enforcement, time, money, and energy and professionals. So guess what? Only a certain percentage of any crime ever gets enforced against individuals. And so what we worry about, like the biggest concern you have as a freedom-loving American, is that the law isn't applied equally across all people. No, only applied to those who, you know, voted for a candidate, maybe, or contributed to a candidate or a cause that the bureaucrat doing the enforcement doesn't like.
Or have a high social credit score, you
right.
know, not the Chinese version, but the American version. If you said the right things on the internet, if you supported the right people, you know, we think that's nonsense. I mean, we wish it were nonsense, but it's not. Lois Lerner, where there are very strict rules on what the IRS is allowed to do or not allowed to do on a political basis, very strict rules, because Nixon weaponized the IRS against his political enemies. But Lois Lerner and the IRS were, according to the House findings, I mean, there were House hearings on this, disproportionately focused on Tea Party groups or Patriot groups or groups that might be opposed to the Obama administration.
You know, it's always a concern. And the no matter who's in office, do not feel comfortable because Trump won the White House or because your party won a chamber of the U.S. Congress. It feels like you can relax and everything's going to be okay for 4 years. That's really not the case because you have to be concerned about the people inside the agencies who actually call the shots on whether or not to go after a person. You know, Donald Trump is not going to be deciding who's on the list. There are going to be people in some, you know, office tucked far away in the U.S. Treasury. You don't know these people. You didn't elect them. You can't unelect them. They're bureaucrats. Many of them stay for a lifetime or a whole career. So do not feel that you can be assured that you won't have a weaponized government even now. There are things that President Trump and his administration can do, absolutely, to try to protect you. There are things that Congress can do. They can repeal the law. Be a nice start. But please understand that we always have to be concerned that the process is the punishment where you have a federal or state or local official come against you. Even if you're 100% in the right and you did nothing wrong, the time and money that you have to expend to defend yourself, to make your case, to clear the charts is far more than most people have.
Okay, stop it here. All right, this is amazing. We have the Corporate Transparency Act that Congress passed and they were going to enforce on you. You probably weren't even aware. January 1st, they were going to start fining people, throwing people in jail and so forth. But we have good news. There's a temporary injunction from a court that has blocked that Corporate Transparency Act. All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll be back with Jackie Deason, and we'll be talking about the good news, but also the threat that remains out there until this thing gets completely killed. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by the incomparable Jackie Deason, a radio star of her own, and she's an attorney, and she brought to my attention a problem with this Corporate Transparency Act that's out there. Hey, Jackie, let's watch this video that the government put out informing people.
Are you up to speed with the new beneficial ownership reporting requirements?
Sort of.
A lot of small businesses like ours just have to report some basic info to the federal government about the real people behind them. It helps fight crime.
Learn more at fincen.gov/BOI.
Yeah, Jackie, what'd you think of that? They didn't come out and say, do this or you will go to jail. They just said, oh, it's just very casual. It's a 15-second ad. And it's like, gosh, I never heard about that. That is so easy to miss. And that's all they're doing to tell us that we have to comply?
Why wasn't there a date? Why didn't they say explicitly, if you do not act by this date, you will be deemed a felon if a bureaucrat says so? I mean, it sounded so nice and so innocuous and so kind and nothing to see here. People barely noticed it, right? It was the most unremarkable commercial, nice lady. But people need to understand, like, that's probably as much information as the average member of Congress really understood about this law when they passed it. And we've talked about this before. I'm a former congressional staffer. I really want to educate everyone on how scary Congress is and just how little they know about the laws that they pass sometimes. So the fact that this passed the House and the Senate is rather shocking until you understand how the place works and that they get little bullet points about what's in a bill. It probably was about as much information as you heard in that ad and not the scary side of what can happen when we pass this law and no one knows about it. I feel like it's a gotcha for people in the small business community. You know, you don't know about this, you failed to comply, too bad.
Well, how many members of Congress happen to have an LLC or a sub S?
Most of them.
Yeah, and if they're not complying, the next thing you know is you can drag out your political opponents and throw them in jail.
Absolutely, you could.
Yeah.
You could.
And, you know, we've seen the weaponization of government. We saw the 34 felony charges against former president and soon to be again president, Trump. And they kind of doctored those out of nothing, literally. I mean, the felony charge was combining a misdemeanor with an obscure law without any really jury instructions on what they could base it on. The next thing you know, there's 34 felonies brought against him.
Yeah, no, it was outrageous and clear lawfare. But this is the way this works. A prosecutor often and probably does get by with behaving that way. And then you have to go fight just to go back to stasis, right? Just to defend yourself, prove that you're innocent, debunk the legal theories upon which this is based. Well, by the time you've done all that, they've already got their 10,000 headlines saying that you've been accused of 34 felonies.
Right.
And so that might be the only goal. Even if they just get that, that's something very valuable.
Except in this case, there are 33 million small businesses. That means 33 million individuals, 61.7 million employees that are potentially going to break the law on January 1st. Okay, stop it here. I want to interrupt because we have the good news that the U.S. District Court for Eastern District of Texas has issued a nationwide preliminary injunction temporarily suspending this. So I was going to go on and say, if you don't file this by January 1st, you're going to be paying hundreds of dollars, $557 or something per day and go to jail for 2 years. And nobody knew it was out there. It got passed by Congress and ignored. They didn't really educate you on it. And then they would have had a right to burst in your home, arrest you, and throw you in jail. Only small businesses, not big businesses, and only individuals who might be listed on an LLC or a sub-S corporation. So anyway, go ahead, roll the tape. About it. It can be selectively enforced, and it's going to cost you money to comply, and it's going to cost you money to not, even more money to not comply. So, you know, we talked about this earlier, and you said, by all means, if you can, get legal advice.
Yes.
Okay, that's still good advice. Get legal advice, absolutely. But the good news is you don't have that January 1st deadline. Go ahead.
I mean, and I realize not everyone can afford a lawyer, that's for sure. In fact, a significant percentage of Americans, according to RFK Jr., 40% can't put their hands on $1,000 right now if they absolutely had to. So I understand that. The federal government either doesn't understand that or doesn't care. But you need to make an effort that you can point to. Should you ever be called to account for whether or not you comply with the law, even if you make a mistake because you don't have a lawyer, you can't afford a lawyer, still you must make the effort and do your very best to comply with the law, because you don't want to be on the wrong end of enforcement action. as I said, I've said before, even beyond the Trump administration, because the compliance deadline is January 1st, 2025.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's coming right up. And then he's not going to be your president at the time, actually.
All right, Kate, stop it here. We got a gift from God. We prayed, and they suspended enforcement of this law. And so you don't have to do it by January 1st, 2025. But it's still out there. It's not gone away, and you do need to educate yourself on it. So listen to Jackie's advice, but ignore the January 1st portion. It doesn't apply at this moment. Go ahead.
...of this law, if he wants to...
For another 3 weeks.
So there's that window of time within which you're a violator. And, you know, I don't know the statute of limitations on this law, like how much time the feds have to come after you for it. But it could well be beyond the Trump term.
You've looked for it. We were talking about this, and you have not found the answer. This is the kind of thing where the government gets weaponized against you. If you've got a small business, less than $5 million a year in revenues, less than 20 employees, that's a small business. An extra $1,000 or $2,000 to fill out forms isn't easy to come by, but it's a whole lot better than $500 a day in fines. I think this law is completely unjust, completely unconstitutional, but doesn't mean that they won't try and punish you under this unjust. They did this in Washington, D.C. They found in Washington, D.C. that most of the laws regarding guns were unconstitutional. And yet years later, after the Supreme Court had ruled you can't pass that law, there were people still sitting in jail who had violated those laws and they hadn't processed them out yet.
Well, and the libertarians listening will be empathetic to the idea that this is very similar to, you know, let's say you have a attorney general who put you, or, you know, as a DA, put you in prison for possessing marijuana, and then years later makes jokes about it on television interviews doing it themselves. Now these things are legalized in your state, but you're sitting in jail because they stacked your sentence. I've heard of up to 52 years in federal prison for stacking possession of marijuana.
For something you wouldn't even be arrested on today in many states.
In many places. And so, and the people who actually might have put you behind bars, you know, can boast and laugh about having violated the same law. All of this is at outrage. And here's the worst part. How can we take them seriously that all of this is to prevent crime, prevent illegal immigration, human trafficking, drug trafficking, when the very same federal government is not enforcing the border?
Right.
Obviously, we have proof positive that they haven't been too concerned about the consequences of an open border. And yet here they are harassing law-abiding people. There's no probable cause that 33 million small business owners have committed a crime. Why should they have this warrantless search, essentially, that they didn't have before, and that an Alabama federal judge has said they do not have the authority to do? And I think others will say the same.
All right, stop it right here. Others have said the same. This is the good news. The law's still on the books. It is temporarily enjoined. It cannot be enforced against you, but it's still out there. We still have a fight to win on this, but thank God for people like Jackie Deason and the courts and others who stood up and said, this isn't constitutional. We will not enforce it. Go ahead.
I know about challenging the constitutionality of this law on many fronts.
Well, why are they rushing to enforce it so quickly? Why don't they give, I mean, like, they changed the tax rules, and when they do that, they'll give you a grace period. Like, my father passed away, and you have to pull from an inherited IRA a required minimum distribution. But when they changed the law, they pull compliance to that law for a year or two and say, we're not going to enforce it for a year or two because people have to adjust and they have to figure it out. This is a lot to figure out. Nobody has any idea how to do it. Nobody's willing to help you do it. I mean, the accountants don't want to help you do it because that'd be practicing law without an attorney. And most attorneys don't, you know, you find one if you can, but most attorneys don't want to help you do it. So you feel, I'm on my own.
Right. No, you know, you are. And I don't quite understand. I guess maybe because something is new, a lot of people don't like to venture into new areas of law that they're not familiar with or they haven't worked with. My understanding was that originally you had 2 years to comply with this law under the statute, but then somehow in the rulemaking, in other words, in the executive agency, it was narrowed to 1 year of compliance. And so that, first of all, bothers me a lot. They're making it much harder and more of a gotcha than it should be or needs to be. But also, if you're going to do all of that, why can't there be education around the law? You played an ad earlier,
right?
Which was, I mean, told you almost nothing about the law other than a website where you could go and learn more. And there's a 57-page document there that will tell you how to comply. So it's not exactly the easiest thing.
It's not a 15-second explanation, is it?
No, there's a lot more. I mean, you and I are barely scratching the surface here just in this entire show. But I think, look at the other federal initiatives around which we've seen these huge education campaigns. They don't mind dumping tons of money into telling you why you need a COVID vaccine.
Right.
I mean, on every station, I don't care what news station you watch, I don't care, you know, and then targeted ads just to pregnant women, just to vulnerable people, whatever, or pouring tons of money into these federal initiatives to register people to vote through every federal agency, or climate change education. I mean, I'd like to know the price tag on, you know, educating you about why you need to support whatever the government wants to do on climate. Yet you get prison time.
Yeah, you can't go to prison if you burn gasoline.
That's right. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
All right. So they've got this, and they're going to take this information and give it to something called the Egmont, E-G-M-O-N-T group. I looked it up. I'd never heard of them. Connecting financial intelligence units worldwide. There are 170 countries involved in this. And I looked at the leadership of these countries. It's not American leadership. And
no.
Maybe not even friendly to America leadership.
That's right. As would be expected in a world body.
Yeah,
nearly all of them are that way.
And so even if they were all above board and good, they can get, there's 170 attack vectors, right? And so you could attack any one of them and steal all the information for all the people that comply to it. Okay, stop here. What I want to share with you is we dodged a bullet, at least temporarily. I mean, picture the bullet whizzing past and bloodying our ear kind of thing, because this Corporate Transparency Act was about to ensnare 31 million, I guess 10% had complied, so 27 million or so American businesses, small businesses, LLCs and so forth, and it was going to have selective enforcement punishment. And I believe the court stepped in at the right time, and frankly, maybe because the Trump administration is coming in. This is where we really avoided a serious legal problem for a lot of businesses. It's not over. We're going to need to keep praying about this. And we're going to cover more of this and actually what you should do now that the law has been enjoined. We'll cover all of this with Jackie Deason right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Remember the Patriot Act? With the Patriot Act, you know, we're going to catch these terrorists and these criminals, but it didn't really affect the average person all that much. You know, we had some things we had to do. You know, we have to go through TSA and take our shoes off and show our laptops and things like that. And those are annoying and they're intrusive and they're probably not necessary. They probably don't really help anything, but we do them and we comply with them. Now there's something that we have to comply with that seems much more intrusive. They want to know everything about every small business in America, 33 million of them, 61 million employees. So that's how small it is. The average employment per these businesses is less than two. We've got Jackie Deason here talking about the Corporate Transparency Act and how intrusive it might be and how it might be weaponized. Jackie, what are your thoughts?
Well, we have to worry at all times that, let me just start with the American maxim, you don't trust the government, right? To be moderate, to be fair, that is not how we run our government, and we're not supposed to. You don't just give huge powers to any government, whether it's federal, state, or local, and expect that, you know, discretion will always be used properly.
Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The pigs of Animal Farm, as soon as they got in charge, all animals are equal except for them. Some animals are more equal
than
others.
That's right. And so if you haven't read Animal Farm in a while, I recommend you go back and do a new read of it and get copies for your kids. They're stocking stuffers for Christmas time.
And that's actually not a bad read. This is seeming a little more Kafka-esque to me. If you read any Franz Kafka, which is horrible, I hate reading Kafka, but the bureaucracy and the control, and you have to go to this window, then this window, then this window. Fortunately, you can do windows on your computer, but it's still agonizing.
Well, so, you know, we should not be in a position where we have to have any trust. We put restrictions on all government actors, at least in theory. We do this by separating the powers. You don't get to blend powers, in theory. And then you have your amendments to the Constitution, which should be a restriction on how the government behaves. That's why they're there. And so I still, Kevin, marvel regularly at how our Constitution still works. Even, I mean, I read the news, and just like with this CTA, Corporate Transparency Act, here's this horrible law. It's clearly unconstitutional. There's a lot wrong with this law. It violates probably about at least 5 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, just looking at the first 10 of them. The amazing news is a federal court very quickly agreed and struck it down as to the plaintiffs in a certain case in northern Alabama. So it'll now go to the 11th Circuit. But here you have the judiciary coming in and saying, whoa, Congress, and whoa, executive branch. I don't think so. This document, the Constitution, is still protecting us, and protected quickly, because it went into effect in January of this year, the law did. We haven't hit the deadline. We're talking now about 2 different deadlines.
Right.
Yeah, so it went into effect January 1st, 2024. Your deadline is January 1st, 2025.
Okay, that has been suspended. You're not actually having to face that deadline now. It's been suspended. We'll get to that in a minute, but listen to her point.
Even now, we find that, you know, not only can the judges protect us here, and hopefully they will, but I would not bank on that in the next few weeks. And even a single judge provided a precedent, making very clear, I don't believe that this passes any muster. But at the same time, you have people like, I don't know, state attorneys general maybe can step in to protect people and protect the sovereignty of the state, or a solicitor general, because this also seems to be a clear violation of federalism, going back to that separation, state from feds. And there's a reason why we have this separation. This is exactly where we should have a protection. And your state actors, there's people you elect like Kim Paxton in Texas, or maybe others that your governor appoints, can step in and try to protect you. So there should be lots of people. Look at all the people you have to get through to harm the citizen. You have to get through the House member that represents them, the senator that represents them, the president they voted for, and the judges who were appointed, the state actors that they elected or were appointed. There are a lot of people who can do something to put a stop to this, and I think a lot of them will try. But for now, the law's...
Now, stop a second. The law doesn't stand for now. And I want to just, if you've got a small business and you're worried, what do I do about this? Good news, you don't have to face the January 1st deadline. But I was reading in Forbes, there's a Forbes magazine here, December 4th, Forbes, where they're talking about, the title of it is Court Blocks Corporate Transparency Act, a Win for Federalism. And it has lists here, businesses that have filed. If you filed, like I filed, they're going to pause compliance efforts. You need to monitor legal and administrative development. So you can't just put this away so it's done forever. It's just a temporary pause, and you got to protect your data. You know, because all this data is going out somewhere, you better have a service that's going to help monitor if your data gets out there. If you've not filed, here's the good news, is they're going to suspend the requirement to file temporarily. They could pick it up at any time, and you need to stay on top of it. We'll try and do that for you here at Pirate Money Radio. You need to consult legal counsel so that you have somebody triggering you. My accountant's the one that informed me of this first, and then you've got to prepare for potential compliance. But go ahead with what Jackie was saying. So it's not protected under the taxing amendment. It is not interstate commerce because a lot of these LLCs are without commerce. They're not conducting commerce. Some of them might be conducting commerce only within one single state. So you really can't stretch that. And the judge said that when he looked at it. It seems to violate the laws against unreasonable search and seizure. They're searching and seizing without, without really any due process or you know, it's an out of control federal government. And this is what I'm worried about in weaponization. It's all about money. Now, I want to take just a pause here. Your money matters. And at the end of the day, they're trying to get a control of your money. There are only three things you can do with your money other than perhaps, you know, paying your taxes. You can give it when it's your money, spend it, or invest it. And at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile is a mobile phone company, and they support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, Patriot Mobile, and Pirate Money Radio is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And Jackie, you're friends with the Patriot Mobile folks too. I've seen.
I do know them. Yeah. Yes. They are ubiquitous. They're all over the state of Texas and even outside the state of Texas. I run into them. Wherever there are good things going on, the Patriot Mobile leadership team is present.
Yeah, no, I really like them. But I'm not so happy with the federal government and how our Congress, people supposed to be the people representing, you know, you and me at the House of Representatives and the Senate theoretically representing the states, they abandoned this, passing this law after Trump had vetoed it.
Right.
And then they brought it back. They snuck it back in. Describe how that happened.
So this was snuck into a bill called the NDAA, which is National Defense Authorization Act. What you have to understand is this is one of those bills that comes around cyclically, and it's what the members of Congress and senators tuck their pork into. So their pet spending. There's always a workaround, right? You have something like earmark reform, which is supposed to protect the taxpayer from having members of Congress just throw out pork barrel spending to their district here, there, for everything you can imagine. And they find ways then to have other vehicles through which they can do the same thing. NDAA is one of those. It is authorizing spending. And of course, it's called the National Defense Authorization Act. So it's must-pass legislation.
We have to have defense.
Yes. You won't find even a libertarian in the House or the Senate, who will, assuming there are any left, I guess there are a few left, who will say that national defense is not a legitimate action of government. So they're going to go along with it. But that is why you put that beautiful facade, that name on the bill, and it just hides all the nonsense that's actually inside that bill. And it gives people a pass to vote for things that they don't believe in, or maybe they don't
but
want to take a stand on.
This? All right. Trump vetoed it in 2019 with good reason. And they brought it in during 2021, after everybody reported Trump lost. Everybody said Biden's coming in. He's lame duck. He's dealing with a whole lot of issues in those couple of months there. I remember those well. And all of us, they snuck it in the NDAA and he signed it. It had to go through.
There was a lot of chaos at the time. People were very distracted, that's for sure. And people like Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren, who believed this was important.
Okay, this is where we are. Senator Warren wanted to see this because she loves FinCEN and she wants to give as much power to FinCEN as possible, presumably to protect the average person. That was the whole reason that they built that whole monstrosity, was to protect the average person against big companies. But this bill does this law does the exact opposite.
I think most things she supports does the exact opposite. I mean, I would tell you that she never met a power grab she didn't love for the federal government. Look at the trend, and I'm not really just picking on her. It's certainly not just her. She's just one of many. But there tends to be, if you look at the party platforms, Republican Party and Democrat Party at least, there's a clear trend. One party wants to take more power and money from the individual, and one wants to give it back. At least in the platform, at least in theory. I'm not telling you that's how it works.
One takes it fast and the other one tends to slow down a little bit,
yes,
but still take it. But
you know what? You're totally right. I mean, someone said to me years ago when I was on Capitol Hill, you know, the Democrats want to run us off the mountain at 100 miles an hour. The Republicans will run you off at 80 miles per hour. Right.
Exactly.
You got a few more days left to live. I don't totally disagree with that. I am an equal opportunity assaulter, verbal assaulter only, onto both parties, and both have their share of blame, and I mean a lot of blame, to go around. So I'm not really, you know, the older I get, the less partisan I am. You know, and it's getting confusing.
You're we're having more one of those constitutional and less partisan.
Yes, absolutely. I am not. I cannot be accused of being a Republican Party partisan. 10 years ago, maybe. 20 years ago, definitely. And then I grew up. We all did. I mean, things have changed a lot.
Oh, who would have thought? You know, I supported Bush Cheney. Who would have thought Cheney would be on the other side in this? And I was talking to Naomi Wolf. She was on this program. I was talking with her. I was like, you were on Gore side, Gore Lieberman. I was on Bush Cheney's side. And who would have thought that Cheney would have jumped to that side and you would have jumped to this side? It's crazy. All right, let's stop here. Bottom line is there's the Corporate Transparency Act. It was passed by Congress through really weird means. It was about to be enforced, and a court stepped in and enjoined it. But you've got to know about this act. You've got to be aware of it if you have a small business, because at any point, FinCEN, the group that's enforcing it, could come back. They could appeal the decision. They could come back and create a new deadline. Maybe you won't even hear about it. You didn't hear about it this time. You might not hear about it in the future. So you've got to be prepared. We have one more segment to go with Jackie Deason. When we come back, we'll talk further about the Corporate Transparency Act.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Jackie Deason. We're talking about something that's very important to your future. If you own a small business or a part of a small business or have friends or relatives that own a small business, there is a law. That says by January 1st, you have to go online and fill out some forms, hand over some personal information. I believe it's totally unconstitutional. It seems like, Jackie, you believe it's totally unconstitutional as well. But you better do it. All right, let's interrupt here. We believed it was totally unconstitutional. And we have a court that agreed with us. So this law that was going to be enforced January 1st, still on the books, it's temporarily enjoined. So you don't have to fill out these forms by January 1st, but you need to be aware of it. Because if you're not aware of it, you could be found to be a felon, fined $500 and some a day, and sent to prison for 2 years. So keep listening, but realize God gave us an early Christmas present, and the law has been postponed temporarily. It'll be fought out in the courts, but right now you will not be subject to enforcement. So go ahead to do it if you can. Your accountant likely won't help you. The accounting boards have said, no, that'd be giving legal advice. We don't give legal advice. I can't tell you how to fill out the forms. It's rather intuitive, but it's also rather intrusive. So I did it. I've got a couple of businesses I had to go on and fill out that form. If you've got an LLC or a subchapter S corporation or you're a party to one, you'd better take advantage of the opportunity in the next 2 weeks. It won't take you, maybe an hour or two to do it, but you better do it or you would face what?
Well, potentially you would get fines up to $556 a day, I think, and up to 2 years in prison.
Wow. And there are people fighting for you. I've got here, right, the Texas Public Policy Foundation files complaint challenging the constitutionality of Corporate Transparency Act. That's from September 12th, and that's winding its way of one of 10 lawsuits through the courts. TPPF is a group that we both know here in Texas, a great group that stands for the Constitution. And there's 10 of them out there. And it was found unconstitutional in Alabama, Northern District of Alabama, on behalf of the National Small Business Administration, which is great news. If you happen to be an NSBA member, that means that it cannot be enforced against you because it was found unconstitutional. But if you're not a member or weren't a member before March 1st, you still better fill this out, right? Okay, stop here again. The NSBA did a great job for their members, and in Texas, we had a court filing that did a great job for everyone. It is not going to be enforced. It's still the law, and it might get appealed and win. So you got to stay on top of this. But good news is the courts have stepped in on our behalf. Now, if you've already filed, like I did, you got to watch your information to make sure that it doesn't get hacked. Governments get hacked, and this got sent to 170 governments around the world. If you procrastinated or didn't know about it, you don't have to file yet. So hold off, consult legal counsel, watch the news, make sure you stay on top of this. But go ahead with Jackie.
Fortunately, that was not a facial challenge that knocks down the law nationally until the end of time. But hopefully Texas Public Policy Foundation can make some progress here, but it has to happen fast is the problem, and the courts can move so slowly.
Especially during the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
They will take a break from solving your problems, but they won't give you a break for the holidays. I mean, this is serious. You better sit down, research this, get legal advice if you can, and look, the Corporate Transparency Act. I'm not going to tell you how to do it or what to do because that'd be legal advice, but you can research it on the internet. It's not hard to find, and there's a place that you're supposed to go and fill out that information. You don't have to do that now. That's good news. Keep going. Returns. You'll need some things that you may not remember off the top of your head.
Yes, and I did look it up online, and they have something like a 57-page instruction manual on how to fill out this information. So it's free, it's online, the government supplies that, but you simply have to know that it's there. So, I mean, my biggest concern, the reason that I was excited to do this segment or do this show with you today, is that I'm just concerned people don't even know this exists. And it's like a gotcha law. And you don't even know that you committed a felony as of January 2nd, 2025, if you have not filled out these forms with FinCEN, which is inside the Department of Treasury. So again, if you just Google Corporate Transparency Act compliance, it'll all come right up.
It will, but it's not it's fairly simple. I mean, they gave us a 15-second ad to say how easy it is. And you know, don't you know that over a cup of coffee, don't you know you need to fill this out? But come January 2nd or 3rd or 4th, and you haven't done it, you run risk if the Trump administration. Now, I'm very hopeful that Trump will get in. He vetoed this once. He'll get in and say, this is nonsense. We're not doing this to the American people. Or that FinCEN will say, hey, look, people weren't enough aware of it. They only had 10% compliance in August. I don't know what it is now. The last time they reported compliance was 10% that I saw. But they could come in and say, look, we're not going to enforce it for 6 months or a year because we have a new administration and all that. They might do that. You can't count on that.
No.
You can count on the stay of execution that we were given by the courts. But this information is not going away. This law is not going away until it gets once and for all beaten down or annulled in some way, removed. So you got to listen carefully. You got to hear this, because if they want to turn this back on, they could turn it back on, and you could wake up a felon one day not knowing because you missed the news. That's why you got to listen to Pirate Money Radio or Economic War Room, or stay informed on this stuff. Go ahead. We need to step up now and look into this. If you own a subchapter S corporation or an LLC, if you're an individual sole proprietorship, you're not subject to this. But lawyers put everybody in these little LLCs to protect them, right? Limited liability corporation. That's what it stands for, right?
Right. And so, yeah, you constantly get advice from lawyers that this is exactly what you need to be doing. So a lot of people have them and never use them. As you were saying earlier, they just sit there. They're not doing anything. They're not engaging in commerce at all. You still have to comply.
And so that is something, rack your brain to see if you've ever been a party of an LLC, a major owner or whatever, and there's specific compliance rules. I mean, like, I've got several LLCs and I've got some members in those that don't meet the standard because you have to have more than 25% ownership or something like that. Look it up. I'm not giving advice. Look it up on your own. Get your lawyer to help you. Get somebody that's competent to help you with. But it is something serious that's on the horizon.
And if you know anyone who's dear to you, or just a friend who has an LLC that would qualify for this, please share this podcast, because we need to get the word out. I am very concerned that the reason we only saw 10% compliance with this law in August is because probably close to 90% don't know anything about it.
I didn't know anything about it till my accountant brought it to me and said, if you don't fill this out, we will not file your taxes.
Yeah.
And so I delayed my taxes enough that we're into October and I'm filing at the end. He said, no, you have to fill this out or we won't file, because we want to protect you. We want to, and, which I appreciated him for. But
yeah.
All right, so we got a lot going on. We've got a new administration coming in. We've got the administrative state with Chevron decisions in Cherkasy, and we won't get into all that, but DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, hopefully they can smack down some of these out-of-control government bureaucrats.
Right, and I even saw that on the DOGE X account, which you can easily find, they said, we need people like right now to apply for jobs to help us with this mission. It was really funny because it said, like, it showed you exactly where to apply and how to apply from the X. You can link in. And it said, we don't want part-time idea generators. We want people who are ready to work 80 hours a week.
Wow.
To help us scale back this government. And, you know, I had two quick reactions to that. Number one, you're exactly right about the 80 hours a week. And we've only got really 18 months to get things done. Because, you know, who knows who wins the House 2 years from now and what other things can happen. But I also thought, you know what? Actually, you do need part-time idea generators because the number of problems that need to be fixed, you can't just have a brain trust or even a team of smart people to tackle an agency. There are people out there on the wrong end of these bureaucrats already. You know, even just think tanks. Think tanks are part-time idea generators. Maybe the guy who works at the think tank specializing in FinCEN, doesn't know every possible offense that FinCEN has had and all the things we need to do to scale them back, this administration. But he is an expert and he doesn't work there full-time, but he knows where a lot of the bodies are buried. You've got to have people like this, I think, who not only have a lifetime of expertise, hopefully, but also, and Trump likes this, people who have been persecuted, who have been on the receiving end, who say, you know, this is the method, this is the way, here's what's going on. Because there, I cover these stories a lot on my show, and I do, you know, I speak with everyone. I mean, think tank people, media people. I've got lots of friends who serve in government, and it's just too big. It's almost like Congress and the executive branch creates regulations so fast that they can't even stay on top of, much less us, stay on top of what's going on. So there's going to have to be a committed group of people who are super smart, who are willing to sacrifice at least 2 years of their life to go to Washington probably and help. Just dig in.
What an exciting opportunity, though. If you're all right, so you're a small business and you've been forced to comply with this Corporate Transparency Act, your revenge can be joining DOGE and getting a theoretical chainsaw, not an actual one, and going and chopping down government. If this passes constitutional muster, which we hope it does, it will be one of the most exciting opportunities of your life, and you'll remember this forever. Okay, stop here. All right, we need to cut down the size of government. They do out-of-control things like this Corporate Transparency Act. They've also run an out-of-control debt and deficit. You know, over the Black Friday holiday weekend, it was a record number of sales, $10.8 trillion in sales over a four-day weekend. You know, we racked up $12 trillion in just new interest added to the debt over the same period. So all the people shopping were like shopping at the boutique on the Titanic. All right, if you got questions or comments, AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Pass this along. Help us spread the word. piratemoneyradio.com. God bless you all. Till next week, this is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio.